Did you know that Norway may never have become the rich country it is today if it weren't for one Muslim man from Iraq? You see, in 1938, oil was discovered in the deserts of Dammam in Saudi Arabia. And while it wasn't the first oil discovery in the world, it was the largest single source of oil ever found. And soon, many other countries around the world began working with drilling companies in search of their own oil. One country in particular saw this oil boom and began inviting private companies to see if they could discover any oil or natural gas beneath the North Sea. Years passed by, but no oil was found, and one by one, these companies eventually decided to cut their losses until only one company remained. And it, too, was about to pack its bags. But while all this was going on in Norway, another country somewhere in the Middle East was experiencing an oil boom of its own. In Iraq, oil had actually been discovered just north of Kirkuk in 1927, 11 years before Saudi Arabia. And as the decades went on, oil production increased, and in 1952, the Iraq Petroleum Company even made a deal with the British to sponsor young Iraqi students, fly them to Britain, where they would study in British schools with the promise that when these students came back, they would have a job in Iraq's oil sector waiting for them. And one of these students was a 16-year-old boy by the name of Farouk al-Qasim. Farouk was selected for the program and was sent to study petroleum geology in the Imperial College of London. There, he studied for 5 years, got married to a Norwegian woman, and came back to Iraq with his wife at the age of 21. And when he arrived back in Iraq, as promised, he was given a job at the oil company. Over the next 10 years, he quickly rose in the company, getting promotion after promotion. He was seen as respectable and well-balanced and fit right in with the company's scheme. And by the time he was 31, he was ranked 5 in the company. Everything was looking up for him, or so it seemed. You see, Farouk had a son who was born with cerebral palsy, a disorder which, if left untreated, can be fatal. At the time, Iraq didn't have the facilities to treat cerebral palsy, and according to Farouk, there was only one country in the world that did. So, Farouk packed his bags, said goodbye to his family in Iraq, and together with his wife and son, they set out to begin a new life in Norway. They arrived in Oslo in 1968, and Farouk then went to the Ministry of Industry and asked them if there were any oil companies coming to Norway. For Norway, Farouk's sudden appearance was a surprise, and an opportunity like no other. At that very moment, Norway's oil companies were all abandoning their search for oil, and the Norwegian government, with no expertise in oil drilling, desperately needed someone like him to keep the search alive. They hired him on the spot and immediately got him to work. He began by analyzing data from the seismic surveys coming from offshore oil wells, looking for clues as to whether there was any oil there or not. For the next 3 months, Farouk examined seismic studies and data from 13 wells, cross-tabulating and mapping results by hand, and by the time he was done, he was convinced that what he had found was extremely promising. He began writing reports warning the government to start preparing itself to become an oil nation, saying it was only a matter of time. And then it happened. In 1969, Norway struck oil. It was a massive discovery, one of the world's largest offshore oil basins. And over 50 years later, they're still pumping over 100,000 barrels of oil per day, till this day, and they expect it to last until at least 2050. But now, with all the oil flowing in, Norway soon realized that they were about to face an economic disaster like they had never seen before. You see, nearly a decade earlier, the Netherlands had made a natural gas discovery of its own. Soon, they began selling it on the open market, which inevitably made their currency, the Dutch guilder, so much more valuable. And because of that, anyone wanting to import goods from other industries in the Netherlands now had to pay a whole lot more. Soon, every other industry in the Netherlands saw their exports go down, making every other sector in the economy so much worse. This inevitably led to the manufacturing companies in the Netherlands going bankrupt, and the unemployment level shot up from 1% to 5%. The end result was so disastrous for the country that it later became known as the Dutch disease, and Norway was about to fall into it. That was until Farouk came up with a plan. In order to avoid Dutch disease, he managed to convince the Norwegian government to let him make a blueprint for how it would manage oil revenues in the future. he and a colleague of his went deep into the woods and locked themselves in a cabin for weeks. Isolated from the rest of the world, together, they got to work on writing the guidelines of Norway's oil industry. And when they finally emerged from the forest, they came with a white paper that would later be known as the Ten Oil Commandments, the most important of which was the creation of a national oil company called Statoil. With this, they suggested that the government require that all oil exploration in Norway was at least 50% owned by this company, so that the Norwegian government always had a major share in the profits, but at the same time give enough encouragement for private companies to compete with each other in exploring for more oil basins. The paper also recommended forcing private companies to create innovative technologies to squeeze out the last bit of oil from every oil basin, whereas in most other countries, that oil might just be left and forgotten about because it was too difficult to get at. Farouk then presented the white paper to the Norwegian parliament, where it was unanimously voted into law. For the next 20 years, Farouk worked as Norway's director of resource management, making sure that neither Statoil nor Norway's government regulators became too powerful over one another. There had to be a balance between the two, otherwise one side could become overbloated, which could lead to the abuse of power and corruption. Soon, oil revenue was pumping in, and Norway began using the money to build infrastructure such as roads and bridges. And later on, Norway even chose to put that money for other investments, putting every cent of profit from the oil industry into a national hedge fund, which, as the writing of this video, was worth $1.3 trillion. That's around $250,000 for each citizen of Norway. All of this wealth, all of this stability, perhaps none of it would have happened if it weren't for that one Muslim Arab immigrant from Iraq. Like and subscribe for more Muslim Facts.
اضطريت ان اترك ما كنت اعتبره مستقبل باهر في شركة نفط البصرة، شركة نفط العراق. فاضطريت ابيع كل حاجياتنا البيتية والسيارة وحتى البيت سريا. وأترك العراق بهدوء بدون أن أثير أي مشكلة.